Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 6. I love to preach from Romans chapter 6. I'm going to go through it for context, but there's a particular aspect in here that I want to focus on. Verse 3 says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Now, when it comes to baptism, it simply means to be immersed. That is used in some various capacities, baptism in water, pertaining to repentance, baptism in the Holy Spirit, and baptism in Christ. It simply means to be immersed, to be immersed. We are immersed into Christ. We're baptized into his death. Or to identify with Christ and to come to him in faith, we identify with his death and resurrection. And our whole life's immersed, or baptized, immersed into that. "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Now, we see here we identify with him in his death, and because of that, we can identify with him in his resurrection. Jesus identified with us in that the Word became flesh. He became man. He was God and man, and he died for us. Was separated from the Father, went to hell in our place with our sin upon him, leaving it there, and having been raised up victorious over sin, death, and the devil. In the same way he was raised up, we're raised up. Now, physically, I've not been resurrected yet, neither have you. You have a human body. There are limitations. But your spirit man's been raised up with him. In the same way he was raised victoriously over sin, death, and the devil. Knowing this, that an old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. As we have the awareness and the understanding of our identification with the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Christ, as we come into that understanding and embrace that and apply that to our life, then the power of sin in us is destroyed or broken. God doesn't want us to serve sin. "For he that is dead is free from sin," or if we're dead to the carnal nature of man, to sin nature, when we die to that, it's no longer influencing us. It's not doing anything. You know, someone, their spirit leaves their body, and that's what we would call being dead. You could poke them. They're not going to move. They're not going to slap you back. They're not going to do anything because they're dead. And as we're dead to sin, sin has no power over us. It says, "If we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him." Knowing something, keeping us in our consciousness, that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died to sin once, but in that he lives unto God. "Likewise reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, these particular verses speak to us concerning our identification with Christ, that crucified, dead and buried, resurrected, seated with him in heavenly places. And as we have that awareness, that's where the power of God is in that. It's released by the release of faith in that identification with him. I remember as I was learning these things, wasn't pastoring yet or anything. I was a young man, young believer, and I had that little book of Kenneth E. Hagin called In Him, where he has like over 200 scriptures there that say in him, of him, through him, with him, in Christ, of Christ, with Christ. And that speaks of who we are and what we have in Christ. And he had shared about as we confess those things and speak those things to ourselves, that's what we have available to us. That's who we are. As we're speaking that, we release the power of God to bring that into effect in our life. So as I was running certain machinery in this foundry all day long, I'd keep a New Testament in one pocket and that in-hymn book in the other. And if I had any break, any moment of time, I would memorize a scripture about in him and just be speaking it to myself. And it was so loud and noisy in there that you could see someone's lips move, but nobody heard what you're saying. But I heard, your spirit hears what you say. You know, you hear every word out of your mouth. That's why you want to make sure your words are words of faith and love, because they're ministering to you, good or evil. And the Spirit of God is witness in the hearing of those things as we're speaking them. But I was speaking to myself, and just as Brother Hagin taught, I saw myself becoming stronger and getting victory over the flesh and over sin because I was appropriating the scripture, the word of God as to who I was in Christ. And speaking these things that I am dead to sin. Sin, you have no power over me. Sin nature does not have power over me. You know, in the world, worldly psychology will say, well, this is who you are. You're an alcoholic, born an alcoholic, always be an alcoholic. You're homosexual. You're this, that, or the other. No, those things are sin. It's a choice that you make. You can end up becoming a slave to that, but you're not bound to it. By identifying with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I identify with him. I am raised up, and that's calling it sin has no power. But in a world to make people feel good, they'll say, there's no sin. There's no sin. We don't want you to feel bad. We want you to feel good. Everybody gets a trophy. I heard even some schools now are saying, we don't want to honor any students that worked real hard and got an A, because that might make somebody else feel bad. Well, learn to work harder and get your A. It's just some complete nonsense. Well, the power of God is released as we're speaking who we are in that identity with Christ. Sin has no power. I am raised up with him in the likeness of his resurrection power, in the same manner, the same way the Lord was raised up. I have victory over sin. Now, verse 12, then he brings a shift here. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust. What he helps us to see is that as I know who I am in Christ, then whether I sin or walk in obedience, it's my choice. I am choosing life or death. I am choosing righteousness or sin. And you have to own up the choices you make in life. You have to own them. If you choose sin, well, there's going to be a consequence. Now, in the world, what the devil's led people to do to deny their need of a Savior is say there is no sin. The New Age movement, that's part of their doctrine, that there's no sin. They'll even say it. Well, you can't be a Bible believer and be saved going to heaven and say there's no sin. What are you saved from? We're saved from sin, the sin nature of the flesh, which then brought us into bondage to Satan. His power is broken, and the power of sin is broken in our life as well. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. So he uses an illustration of an instrument. We have many instruments here on the stage. None of them are doing anything right now. They're not making any noise. They're not making music. Because they only have the power to produce something if someone is putting their hand to it and operating them according to what they're capable of. And we are an instrument where either Satan can work through sin through us, or whether God can work through us through our obedience to him. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Now, people will say, well, I can't help it. I was born this way. Well, that's an excuse where as long as you adopt that thinking, you will never be free. Never. you will be a slave to sin all your life. We have to first begin by recognizing that this is against God, a.k.a. sin. It's against God. I need to be delivered from that. I'm not bringing glory to God when I walk into sin, when I'm walking in that sin, and I need to be set free. Well, Jesus did all that was necessary to break the power of it, and then we can choose to walk in obedience in life. Now, on top of showing us what his will is, he gives us the Holy Spirit, who he enables you to obey God. See, that was a problem in the old covenant. They knew the will of God, but they didn't have the power to do it. So eventually, at the end of the old covenant, even all the priests and everyone was just off the rails. They're off the deep end. They're bound to their sin. Without the Holy Ghost ministry, you don't have the power to do it. To think that you do, you're self-righteous. That identifies you. You think you're good in yourself. You think you have power in yourself. We desperately need the Holy Spirit. But we can obey God. You can't say you can't, because that's to deny the power of God in our life. We want to acknowledge the Holy Spirit, our helper, and the power of God. We recognize the ministry of Jesus set us free from the power of sin and Satan. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. In other words, the grace of God doesn't give you a license to sin. It gives you the pathway to victory over it. Know ye not to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience to righteousness. He said, don't you know this? You're either a slave to sin or a slave to God. And this is the thought I want to begin to expound upon here. I guess the title would be Freedom and Slavery. Freedom and Slavery. Let's read on. God be thanked, you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made free from sin. When are we set free from sin? When we obey the word of God. Why? I can't. He gave you the Holy Ghost. Don't deny the power of God to do it. In yourself, you can't. But by the power of God, you can. You know, sometimes people can do things that are so hurtful, you could feel emotionally, I cannot forgive them. I want to just kill them or hurt them or something. But Jesus commands us to forgive. And it's by the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, people hear the word power, they're always, immediately their mind goes to miracle-working power. It takes the power of God to forgive when your soul wants to hate someone, when you want to hurt them, you want them to have to pay, you want judgment upon them. But by the power of the Holy Ghost, you can forgive. So where you feel you can't, stop confessing that and recognize, Lord, where I can't, you enable me to. The power of God is within me. You live within me. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells within me. You see, we have to start there and begin releasing faith relative to that. When are we made free from sin? When we obey the Lord, the word of God. Being then made free from sin, you become the servant of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, or the weakness of your flesh. For as you've yielded your members servants to uncleanness, to iniquity and iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Or in other words, as we yield to the ways of God, his will, his way, it produces a fruit in our spirit, the whole character of God or holiness of God. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he speaks here of freedom and slavery. Now, the word servant, we tend to think in the English like we're going to have a meal here after a while, and someone would maybe be dishing out the food or making the food right now, which I think is pork and sauerkraut. And we think of that as serving. Well, that is serving. But here it's speaking so much deeper than that. Being a servant, it's not just doing for people, but the word in the Greek is doulos, which means that you have a permanent relationship of servitude where your will is consumed with the will of that person to whom you're in servitude or who you're bound to. And some words are used like Lord or Master, but there are relationships where you have with someone like an employer-employee, it's for you to do their will as long as their will on the job's not violating your conscience. And you could work someplace and are asking you to deceive people or steal from them, and you say, no, I'm not going to do it. Well, we'll fire you. Well, then fire me. I'm not going to go against the Spirit of God dealing with my conscience. But, you know, in that relationship, there's an agreement, and an employer expects you to have your will in line with theirs. Do a good job. You represent the business, to be treat people right, and so forth. You know, there's times that we may go to a restaurant, and you have good service, or sometimes you have not so good service. And we'll comment to ourselves, like, wow, they shouldn't have that person even working for them. They're a bad representative. They make you want to go out the door, stay here and eat more. Well, a servant is a slave. And that's another word that we don't like to attach on our own life. But it actually means being a slave. And we are a slave, and you are free. Now, you can be a slave to God and free from sin, or a slave to sin and free from God. The Spirit of God deals with our conscience, and when we sin, there's a conviction there. And that's like what pain is to your body. If you have pain in your body at a certain place, that's your body sending a signal, hey, something's wrong down here on your foot. Something's wrong in your head. Something's wrong. You know, pain's good. It's not good when you're feeling it, but it's good because it's a message. Something's wrong. You've got to deal with it. Well, guilt or condemnation is pain to your soul. Hey, something's wrong. There's sin here. And that sin will bring death. It brings destruction. It undermines every good thing. So we need that. And the Holy Spirit ministers that to us, or a conviction there, a consciousness of something's wrong here. So if we're resisting the Holy Spirit, then you're free from righteousness. Which is no imposing upon you. It says in Romans 5, I think it's verse 20, by the law comes the knowledge of sin. The law is the proclamation of the will of God. This is what His will is for us, how to live, how to walk, what to do. So then when we're not doing that, we have that awareness. And it says in Galatians that the law brings us to Christ. Or as you are aware, where you come up short, where there's sin, there's that which is not pleasing to God, that which is destructive in your soul. As you have that awareness, then, and you realize you can't conquer that yourself, which you can't, it draws me to Jesus Christ, because it was by His shed blood He paid the price for my forgiveness. It's by His resurrection that there's victory established for me to have power over the flesh and over sin. Praise the Lord for that. Oh my. Well, we're either free from sin or free from righteousness. And some people, they choose to live free from this, the Holy Spirit bringing any conviction or imposing anything upon them as to the will of God. They'll seek people out to preach the word, to have messages, just make me feel good, Pastor. Well, I'm not purposing to make you feel bad. I'm not purposing to make you feel good. I'm just purposing to speak the word of God and let Him do that work in us, whatever it is we need. Sometimes you need encouragement. You need comfort. You need edification. Sometimes you need rebuke, corrected, and challenged. You know, we need a lot of things from God's Word. Well, kind of, what are you serving? Sin or righteousness? It's a choice for us. When we understand the victory in the resurrection, we have a choice then, why serve sin or why serve the righteousness of God. Now, as we understand sin will bring bondage, then you'll want to be free from it. If you think sin's going to give pleasure, and that's Satan's thing he plays with, if you do this, oh, this would be good, it would be pleasing to you. Well, then you'll hang on to that if you think sin's going to bring pleasure to you. But as we realize sin is destructive and God gives life, he is good, and walking in his ways brings that release of the life of God. As we understand that, then we will be all the more inclined to want to be a servant to righteousness, or to know the will and the ways of God at all times, and to walk in the light of that. Now, man has this inherent desire to be free. But where the devil comes in is to make you think you can be free from God. You know, there's two spiritual forces. There's good and evil. There's light and darkness. There's Satan and God. You are a servant to one or the other. At any given point in time, you're a servant to one or the other. But people want to think somehow they're just like living their life of themselves and by themselves apart from God or apart from sin. If we choose sin, we will be separating ourselves from the life of God. If we choose God, we will separate ourselves from the life of sin. We'll experience victory there. So you have this whole element here where people will fight to be free. They'll fight to be free. We celebrate our independence as a nation. July 4th, celebrate that we were slaves to England through taxation. And the we call it founding fathers, they were determined we want to be free. And out of that came our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, where there are certain freedoms there. And people shed blood. They paid a price to be free from the tyranny of the King of England. Now, we celebrate that, okay? We celebrate that. And we tend to view the liberties we have as a very great thing to be protected and guarded. But there are many who seek to control people who are usurping our liberties that people shed blood for. So we understand that in the political arena of this life, that's there. You know, the Civil War, this is interesting. People think it was fought about slavery. It wasn't really. But it was, but not how you think. The reason the Southern states wanted to secede from the Union is because they were being enslaved by a federalized government, which was dominated by the Northern states. And in our Constitution, in the Bill of Rights, they were right, actually. This might sound like some bizarre, crazy thing, but really they were right. Because a Constitution guarantees the right of states over a federalized government. And the purpose of that was to protect freedom that they could choose for themselves. Now, ideally, we choose to live according to the kingdom of God, not just man's laws. But when they set it up, they were endeavoring to make our laws somewhat in line with the law of God. I don't want to get off into weeds with all that, but I'm trying to make a point here. The South fought a war to break free from the slavery of the federalized government. We're facing the same stuff today. It's the same thing. Now, am I going to raise a Confederate flag and whistle Dixie? No. I'm not advocating for that. But I'm just trying to make a point here that they saw they were being made slaves to a federalized government. And it was through taxation. Now, slavery is a reality of life. And what Lincoln did was he made it about freeing the literal slaves in order to gain some moral high ground enough to motivate the people to fight and kill each other. It was something like 500,000 people or more died in our Civil War. They're fighting for different reasons. There was a movie, I think it was called Gods and Generals, and I think it was Stonewall Jackson, and he had a servant, and they were talking, and he said, I hope God's on our side. And he said, no, what's important is that we're on God's side. What's God's side in things? You know, man wants to fight each other and say, well, I'm right. So I want to say, well, God's on my side. People try to get people on their side. But we want to be on God's side. How's he viewing this? I thought it was pretty profound when he did that. And they were loyal, you know, Confederates. But it was a great dilemma that they had in their mind. They celebrated the fact we were free from England. But now the same thing's happening all over. And today the same thing's happening. I mean, the founding fathers didn't pay anywhere near the percentage of tax we pay today. Slavery. When people realize they're bound, when the most strong desires they have is to be free from that bondage. You know, the Soviet Union was formed and based on slavery. The Russians would conquer and bring a nation as a slave state. I really became aware of this when I was in Poland. I was staying in a flat, they call them apartment, with an older couple, and their son was college age, and he was learning English, so he could translate for me. And I made a little bit of a mistake. I asked this fella, he was late 50s, I said, what'd you think of the Russians? I didn't realize I picked a scab off of a wound. He says, we hated them. We hated them. They took everything we had and left just enough to survive. See, what they did is they made slaves of nations. And that's how they built their empire. See, there's no motivation without capitalism. If you're not going to benefit, why would you work harder? It's by force. It has to be forced. And they would steal from other people, steal from whole nations. And this kind of stuff still goes on. People think, well, there's no slavery today. Yeah, it is. You have nations that are slaves to others. You have people that are slaves to money. You know, with what's happening in the world right now, you have the world's financial system. The few in number super bankers basically own the world. Now, when you hear we're $30 trillion in debt, that's to those people. They own us. We're slaves to that. When you commit yourself financially, you become a slave to that commitment. You need so much money just to continue to carry on what you're doing. So you have to keep working. You have to go. You have to keep pursuing and making money. Then when people live for pleasure, it takes money to pursue pleasure. She became a slave for money to pursue the pleasure of slavery, or the slavery of pleasure. You know, some people were slaves to heroin, slaves to alcohol, slaves to donuts, whatever. You know, where something of the flesh that you are, is your source to you, and you're a servant to it. So slavery is something we all encounter in this life. The reality is we're slaves to sin and to the devil unless we identify with Christ by faith and are raised up with him in the likeness of his resurrection, and then having power over sin and over the devil, it's only going to come if you become a slave to God. A lot of times people want to have God involved in their life. It's not involvement. He is my life. That's what Scripture teaches. Colossians 3:4, he is my life. Jesus is my life. He's not just a part of my life. I'm not trying to somehow figure out a way I can con God into blessing me. A I'm not a beggar trying to get him to do something. Oh, please help, please help, please help. Now, identify with Jesus Christ, with his death, his resurrection. He's raised me up in newness of life. I have access to the kingdom of God, to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's the great life. When we realize that is true life and liberty, we'll set ourselves so easily to serve him. But people struggle because their flesh is still ruling them, because their sin ruling their heart and their life. And like I was sharing here, there's a desire that if we realize we're in bondage, to be free. Many people become slaves to alcohol or heroin or whatever, drugs, sex. A lot of people are slaves to sex, servant to it. That's their God. It's what they live for. They're slave to it. And then you're bound. But when you realize it's destroying you, you want to be free. So often I see so many homes destroyed through alcoholism. This thing people want to say, well, yeah, I can drink a little bit. Do you realize what that does? It destroys you. It'll destroy your family. It'll destroy your finances. It'll destroy your life. Why would you play around with something? It's nothing but pride to say, well, I've got control of it. That's what some people will do. I've got control of that. I'll tell you how people become alcoholics. When the pressure comes strong enough and you reach into the flesh instead of the Spirit of God, you begin to reach for the flesh, for that which is a spiritual need. And the pressure increases in your life, the problem or whatever, you'll go to it more and more and more until you're then a slave to it or addicted. People will have denial. Well, I'm not an alcoholic. I just drink every day. You drink every day, you're an alcoholic. And under the pressure, I've worked with people already dealing with like crack addiction. And they'll try to be free and they'll come out for a little while. But then when the pressure's on, go right back to it. Because that's where they're trying to find some peace, some joy, some escape from the pressure of this life. And for many, it's this struggle, this battle relative to being free. I want to be free. Some people are free from guilt. Some people are bound in guilt. Some people are bound in fear. If you're ever bound in fear, you want nothing more to be free from that. Just as you have wars fought for freedom against Nazism, World War II, against communism, against these different things where the devil through man's trying to control people and bring destruction and control and to steal the glory of God. Well, Jesus Christ has set us free. Whose slave are you? You are a slave and you are free. Are you free from God and a slave to sin? Or are you free from sin and a slave to God? You see, in the victory over the flesh comes out of the full identification with Jesus Christ. He's my life now. He's my master. He's my Lord. He has the right to command me. He paid for my life with his blood. I would have no life, no forgiveness, no eternal life, no peace in my soul apart from him. He has the right of possession to us. And if I see how good he is, and we were just singing about it, I see his goodness. If I, to the degree I can see how good he is, I will submit. If you have a little bit of belief that something of this world, of this flesh, is good, then you'll submit to that. I call it the law of submission and resistance. What you see is good, you'll submit to. What you see is bad, you'll resist. God is good. Everything about him is good. And he's made the way for us for victory. It's a great day in your life when you know you've been set free. I like watching the History Channel now and then, and I remember seeing videos when the Allies went into like places in France and Holland and these different places, and as they drove the Germans out and they're in there, the people are all celebrating and they're all just in the streets, dancing and yelling and screaming and hugging on those GIs. because he set me free. He set me free from this tyranny, this oppression, and rejoicing. To realize Jesus Christ alone gave his life to set us free. That all the devils of hell, they can't overpower you. It doesn't matter how many of them are sitting out there in the lawn. It doesn't make any difference. They have no power over you as you're identified with him. He gave his life to set us free from sin dominating us. And to bring us into righteousness, that my spirit's cleansed. I'm in right standing with God. I have confidence before God. I can boldly come to him. He's my father. I'm his son. I can boldly come to God and receive that which I would need from him. Whose slave are you? We can enter into real freedom. Jesus said in John 8, continue my word, you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. Set you free from what? Sin, flesh, devils, the world's pressure, the world's conformity upon you, making you conform. The truth of who Jesus is. He said, I am the truth. I am the way. That truth will bring liberty to us. It's good for us to meditate upon who he is. Everything's built upon that. Jesus, you are my life. You are my righteousness. You're my deliverance. You are, you are, you are. And I am in you. I am raised up. Sin has no power over me. If you're under the influence of sin, you could think you're being a hypocrite to say that. But you're not. That's what God says about you. If you identify with Christ, your life's in him. You could say, well, in my natural man, I'm bound to sin. But I'm a new man in Christ. I'm raised up with him. I've been crucified with Christ. I've been made clean, a new creature, a new man. I'm in right standing with God. And Father, I set my heart to serve you. I am your slave, Lord. Whatever your will is. You see, in that thing with slavery, your will is consumed with the will of the one to whom you're a slave. When someone's a slave to money, that's all they think about. Slave to alcohol or drugs, that's all they think about. You know, in the world, when people in the world get talking about, when they kind of let their hair down and they're not in their professional mode, oh, they're talking about the party they're going to have. Party, 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 party. Well, they're slave to it. So sad, so grievous. They don't know what true liberty in life is. Well, praise God, in Christ, there's a victory. Just like the Allies beat the Nazis. There's a victory. Jesus conquered Satan and all his demons. And the power that sin would have over man, he defeated that in his resurrection. So we identify with Christ by faith, and then make a choice to submit to him each and every day. Lord, what is your will? What would you have me to do? Teach me to be like you, to walk like you. God wants you walking in victory. If you're struggling with an area, here's where you begin. Begin by your faith identification with Christ. And speak that thing, whatever it be. You have no power over me. Whatever that thing of the flesh is. Identify with Christ and then follow that with setting yourself to be a slave to righteousness. Lord, I live for you. I live for you. Well, we've been freed so we can rejoice. Praise the Lord. Let's rise together and rejoice in our salvation today. Rejoice in Jesus Christ our Lord.